Many of you recognize what kind of object this is, and if you said camera, you are right. What you may think, and you could be right, is this is old. This was purchased in around 1968. It was actually purchased in Japan, and this particular model was not exported to the United States. Over the years, I added some other lenses. This is what's called a 35 millimeter wide angle. For those of you who have ever done photography, you know that such a short lens has a larger aperture. That means it allows light to come in. Also, that the lens inside there is beveled. So even though you're close, it will capture a wide frame. This is a 55 millimeter lens, and its aperture is a little tighter, and therefore it lets less light in. And so sometimes you have to increase the time that it's open. And for cameras that are automatic, you never worry about that kind of stuff, but sometimes you have to set how long that shutter is gonna, you know, blink at you. This lens is an 85-205 zoom. And what is sweet about this lens, and if you've ever worn glasses, if you've ever used binoculars, if you've ever used a telescope, and you've looked through high-grade equipment and low-budget equipment, you notice there is a difference in the optics. This zoom has very little distortion. So whether I'm zooming in and I want to look at Doug in the back, you know, and I can focus on him, it would not distort him. Okay, it would show Doug as he is. So, what's all this to do? This is all worthless. Because there's something missing. There's no film. Now, if this was a digital camera, you don't open it up. and you don't do that because everything is sort of what they call electronic, you know, and it's recorded and it captures all the light and the colors according to the lens and the settings, the aperture, everything else like this. But this camera, I could take the lens cap off and I can view at you and I can push the shutter and take all kinds of pictures, but you will have no imprint. In a sense, the camera does not remember you. I can change lenses. I can look at you closer. I can look at you further away. Same thing, it doesn't matter. What matters is that all of this equipment doesn't work unless it has film. And did you know that people's eyesight and senses and all of that, when it comes to God, none of it works without faith. Faith is the power of God that is a gift from God. And it enables the imprint of Christ, crucified Christ alive, to reside, to remain in our hearts. It's by faith we hold on to him. Now, none of this is stated so clearly in the gospel reading. So pull your bulletin out, and we'll walk you through Matthew. The kingdom of heaven is like. These are word pictures. And the kingdom of heaven is, in a sense, a treasure beyond all treasures, a treasure beyond all creation, a treasure greater than anything we can make, anything we can fashion, anything we can design. But look at the first two. The kingdom of heaven is a treasure that's hidden in the field, which a man found and covered up. Go to the next one, verse 45. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. And the difference between the first man and the second man is one was looking and one wasn't. But what's the similarity? The similarity is that God has given his gospel about the kingdom of heaven, and it's there whether you're looking for it or not. I can't explain why one person believes and one person doesn't, what goes on in the heart. That's up to God. But I can tell you that based on the scriptures, that God desires everyone to know his son, Jesus, and everyone to be saved. Jesus himself said, I came to seek that which was lost. The kingdom of heaven is such a treasure and such a gift of God's grace that it is readily available. But sometimes we in our lives are trying to function without the Holy Spirit. Not that we can grab him for ourselves or make him come into ourselves in our heart, but sometimes our life. You know what's strange about that is sometimes we think what we see is everything we need. What we hold on to is everything we need. Except we always want more. That's weird, isn't it? What we have, and time and time again, the scriptures talks about how in Christ we have all we need for life and salvation. We have all we need for body and soul. So take a look at the two men. One, the kingdom of heaven, that is the gospel, the man found it. And in this case, he covered it up. And in his joy, that is by faith, he has joy, he goes and he sells all that he has and buys that field. Now, one common mistake that happens here, and it is very manipulative of what is called organized church, is somebody from the front of the room would say, now I want you to go sell all that you have and give it to the church. You know, I remember when I was in college, we had a nickname for one of the preachers out of L.A. who was on TV all the time. And he had diamonds on every finger and he wore fancy jewelry and chokers and crosses and so forth. And he would preach about how money was evil. And he says, you just don't need that kind of evil in your life, but I can control it. So send it to me. That's not what this is about. This is not a scam for you to go empty. This is a comparison that says you're already empty. But God wants to fill you. He wants to give you a treasure that is beyond measure, a treasure that we can't earn, a treasure we don't work for. He wants to give you this gift. It's called the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And he wants to impart it to you. And as we recognize that we are unworthy, or as Paul says, we're chief of sinners, each one of us, okay? No wonder the man has great joy. The second parable, you have the man who's a merchant, and he understands some things about value, and he's searching for pearls, but then something happens. He finds that the one that God reveals to him, this kingdom of heaven, is unlike any other pearl that he knows, any other earthly pearl, any other precious stone even. And so he gives up all the secular stuff, all the created stuff, all the worldly stuff for this one heavenly gift. And the Holy Spirit enables him to recognize he's not going empty, he's going full. He has all and more than what he needs. So what does this mean for us today? In our world today, self-help books are one of the biggest markets. In our world today, a lot of industry, a lot of businesses are about marketing. And marketing in and of itself is not evil. But what is happening in our world today is we are sold a bill of goods, you know, about what is living. Now, this dates me, but I remember on my black and white TV, a toilet bowl cleaner commercial, where in this case it had a lady who was talking about she is living. Do you remember this one? You know, why? Because her toilet bowl's being cleaned. Now, I don't call that living. But the advertisement is that if you don't have that cleanser, and if your toilet bowl isn't being cleaned, you don't have living. It goes from topic, whether it's the bathroom cleansers, whether it's every kind of scent and fragrant and deodorizer, from every kind of gadget, electronics, to every kind of tool. I know that touches on some guys. Every kind of tool. The world tries to convince you, your life isn't complete unless you have. And it even goes to our wardrobe. I mean, think about the marketing of clothing. It goes from one fashion to another, to one season into the next, and on and on. And if you don't have, then you're not living. You're not living the greatest, to the fullest potential. You must be suffering. And those that have that and count on it look down on others. The good news is that living is not based on the things of this world. Living is not based on what you have and don't have in regards to bank account, clothing, technology, and every other thing that's worldly. Living is based on the kingdom of God. And the joy that Christ has is that he came to give us that kingdom. In the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord, who is Jesus before he became man, pre-incarnate, he chose the people of Israel. God chose them. Not because they were so big as a tribe or great as a people or so perfect on their own, but God chose them out of his love. In the second reading, we are reminded that with the things of this world, whether it's the virus or war or famine or hurricanes and storms, whatever is going on, nothing, no material matter, no worldly event separates you from God's love in Christ Jesus. And in the gospel reading, we hear that this kingdom of heaven is of such value that we would rather lose everything else but that. We could endure losing anything and all things but that. And so there are hardships, certainly, in life, whether it's physical ailments like cancer or pneumonia and all the other bugs that we experience in our lifeline. There are hardships, unemployment, low economy, no business. There are hardships. Family conflict is a hardship. There are all kinds of ways in which, yes, we are tested. And there are all kinds of ways in which we are encouraged to be attracted to the things of this world. And when we do that, we begin to lose sight of God. The great news is that God has given you his Holy Spirit. So no matter your viewpoint in life, whether it's a 55 millimeter, or you got your zoom on and you're looking at a small picture of life, or whether you've got a big vision of life, the wide angle view, okay? That the gospel of Jesus Christ is there for you. And Romans reminds us that whatever's in our viewfinder, don't panic. Because Christ lived, suffered, died, and rose for you. The Old Testament reminds us God has intentionally chosen you. Don't panic. And in the gospel, it reminds us, rejoice. Because we have the kingdom of heaven. Now we see it dimly, but what we see is pretty good. What we see is forgiveness of sins, gift of eternal life, relationship with the Father. What we see is the opportunity to be repentant and then to be restored under the grace of God. And so all of this comes together to remind us of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. That when you're looking for it or when you're not, it's there. Because God loves you. Amen.